Wonder unto Ghidra what is Ghidra's. 10 to 1 he sees you through a beaker and a tweezers. Read the fine print and be like, what's the big deal? Spun wheels of steel since broke wheel, big wheel. Back when it was greasy as a curl, now it's easy dread.
Right, had a rhyme while out of using teeth and Bob's greasy head. Yeah, right.
Do it with your laptop?
No, we're not going to do that. I think we're going to be done with the trailer thing from here on out, because the trailers keep getting more and more dodgy or just in Japanese, and those are not good for the podcast.
Mm.
Okay, so we got to make sure we're talking and projecting here.
No, don't.
Yes!
Yeah.
I have a list here.
Oh, you got the list? Perfect. Yeah, oh, I should grab my notes here. So I'm going to... Yeah. You guys vamp. You introduce. I'm pointing at Martin.
Yes. Welcome to Godzuki, America's number one Christian Godzilla podcast. My name is Martin Felschman. I am one of your regular co-hosts.
I'm Luke Flip. I'm another one of the regular co-hosts.
And I'm Brandon Kirkman. I'm also a co-host.
And then we've got a special guest today.
I'm John Manley, and I got tricked into watching a Godzilla film.
That's what you get for going to open mics. it's my dear friend John Manley. He's a pressure regular that I dearly love. He's a very talented writer, comedian, artist, lover, architect.
That'd be a good lover with a last name like that.
And philanthropist, so on and so forth. So, yeah. Guys, round of applause for John Manley.
Right. Can you also edit in more applause?
I couldn't tell.
Woo!
Woo. Another thing, too, I do for this podcast is I edit a lot of jingles in, too, so I'll have a jingle for you, too.
Oh, well, that's fine. Ooh.
John Manley Jingles!
Mm-hmm. Ooh, a sensual soda opening there.
Some John Manley jingles.
So, what we do is we talk about the Godzilla film we just watched.
First off, what was the name of the movie we just watched?
Oh, shit! I didn't write it down!
I don't think it's said during the credits.
It's Monster Zero, kind of. Like,
it's got a bunch of
Monster
names.
Zero, kind
of. Monster Zero, kind of, Astro X, Godzilla, Hitman.
Yep.
Legacy, : Generations.
That sounds right to me.
Well, I think somebody might be checking who's not talking right now, which is a good idea. We got a phone on it right now. We're so good at this podcast.
The best at this podcast.
It is, 12:25 a.m., so it's a little late. But thank you again, John, for doing this. This is a podcast about Godzilla. I'm Brandon Kirkman.
I'm Martin Felschman.
I'm Luke Flip.
And today joining us is our guest, John Manley.
I'm guest John Manley.
Yeah, that's been Podzuki.
All right, good work.
That's a wrap, everyone.
What's it called?
Monster Zero is the one that pops up when I'm putting on two, but that was when I was searching for Astro Monster.
Yeah.
So...
I think it might just be Monster Zero.
Yeah, it's also saying Invasion of Astro Monster. So.
I assume there's like 6 different titles.
Yeah.
Yeah, like most of these Godzilla movies, there are a bunch of different titles for
also,
it.
Also, Monster Zero Ultra, which is the zero-calorie version of Monster. Oh man, that's a wrap. That's the second time we're ending the episode. Guys, I'm Brandon Kirkman. Thanks for joining us for the Podzuki podcast. And
I'm Martin Felschman. Thank you again for joining us.
And I'm Luke Flip. Thank you again for joining us.
And
I'm co-host John Manley.
And welcome to our podcast about Gamera. Oh man, we haven't even talked about Gamera yet.
No.
Who's Gamera?
So Gamera is a turtle that's like Godzilla, but it's not. And that's been the podcast, guys.
Okay.
I'm Brandon.
Oh, wait. Oh, okay.
They did a lot of Gamera on Mystery Science Theater.
Yeah.
What Godzilla movie number is this?
Oh, shit.
Because I'm coming in,
why
I'm very
are you asking
confused.
Questions?
I've seen 2 Godzilla movies in my life.
This is
one
the
had
fifth
Ferris Bueller in it. And yeah. One was, what was, is 1983 Godzilla a thing? It's like called that? They made it like an American
1985.
85.
Yeah, 1985. That one's pretty good, too.
Is it?
this is like Godzilla movie number 6, right?
This is the fifth one, actually.
This is the fifth one?
Oh, wait.
What was the other non-Godzilla movie?
No, this
watched?
Is the 6th episode.
Okay.
Because the sex
episode
we did was Monster from X.
Well, it's the 6th Godzilla movie.
Jesus. Okay. Oh, man. You know what? If we have a fan base by now, you guys fucking Google it, okay? Make a Wikipedia for us.
What's the time? I don't even know. Like, you guys have obviously seen more Godzilla movies than I have. What is Godzilla's motivation? in life? What is he good? Is he bad? Is he chaos neutral?
This, I mean, what are chaos, we? What are we? This are is, any of us good or bad?
You know what? John brings up a good point. This is like literally chaotic neutral Godzilla.
We're at the point like Godzilla becomes more and more of a good guy. We're at the anti-hero point of Godzilla. In the very first couple of movies, he's just a villain.
You know what? This is a good point because he does a dance, which only an anti-hero could do.
Yes.
Yeah.
You remember at the end of Taxi Driver when Travis Bickle jumps up and like does a little twirl before he shoots himself.
We'll get to the victory dance.
Okay, so actually the best way I could remember is we've done Godzilla. Godzilla raids again. Godzilla versus King Kong, Godzilla versus Mothra, Godzilla versus King Ghidorah. So this is the sixth one.
Okay. Yeah. So seventh episode, sixth Godzilla movie.
Yeah. Man, I really fucked it up with that last movie, guys.
I'm glad it took us 5 minutes to get here.
Yeah. So guys, I'm Brandon Kirkus. No, I'm not doing that. Okay. So usually at this point, what we do is we talk about our initial impressions of the film. I think we kind of got that out of the way. Mm. We don't know if Godzilla's an anti-hero or a dancing god.
Well, I still want to go through it anyway, because I really like this movie. I think it's probably the best one we've watched so far.
Yeah,
this was like a weird, almost like political intrigue with aliens involved.
Oh, yeah, mainly because it's the first one where the parts with humans weren't completely fucking asinine.
Yeah, I feel like we should review. So the other ones you've missed is basically a lot of filler of humans talking about industry and politics, and then Godzilla destroys something, and they go back to the humans talking, and you're like, this is boring.
Yeah, isn't that most of the Godzilla movies?
Yeah,
it's a large portion of them.
I mean, every plot point introduced did tie in, but I still felt like a lot of this movie could have been cut.
Yeah, sure. I mean, or at least condensed.
Yeah. This brings up a good point, too. This film also, I feel like, is the first one where I feel like their budget's kicking in, where, like, they have some good dough, because this had some great set designs in it.
Yeah, for, like, the movie was released in 1965, so, some pretty good effects that still hold up.
What year was Planet of the Apes? Because it reminded me a lot of,
I think that was the 70s.
Second one, Beneath the Planet
of the Apes. If this is before Planet of the Apes, that's kind of inspiring.
Now this
thing, it probably is before, but
yeah, the thing that I was noticing too is that it had a lot of stuff that reminded me of 2001: A Space Odyssey for the sets too. And as I said when we were watching, what year did that come out? And you said 2001. It was pretty funny. So shout out to John Manley on that. We should get him on the podcast sometime.
Yes, it is. It is before all the Planet of the Apes movies. The original one came out in 1968. Then the one you were talking about, Beneath Planet of the Apes, came out in 1970.
Because the Planet X aliens look a lot like the humans that are underneath Planet X. I've watched all those movies. I've never seen a Godzilla
movie. That would be a good podcast to do. The Planet of the Apes movies are all fantastic.
Might be a good what's the deal with kaijus?
Oh, we can't do that game. It's too early. I'll play the jingle, though, after you say that.
What's the deal with these kaijus?
Another great jingle still.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the number one Planet of the Apes podcast.
Guys, I'm Brandon Kirk.
We suck at this.
Yeah. I feel like the way to be good at podcasting is to be real bad at podcasting.
Yeah.
You gotta start somewhere.
Yeah.
You'll get good, guys.
Okay,
I have faith in you.
Thank you.
I'm gonna go home now. Okay. This has been fun.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we go over the plot. Right?
Yeah, let's go over the plot. So
that plot.
As we were talking about, this movie starts off with our two intrepid astronauts, which is Mr. Glenn and Mr. Fuji. A true bromance out of time. It's basically, these two astronauts are in a very fake-looking spaceship that are going to Planet X. They discovered hiding behind Jupiter. So it's a lot like the movie Melancholia.
So it's not even really a planet. Like, they even call it at one point a satellite of Jupiter.
Yeah.
So it's a moon. It's not a planet.
Yeah, that's true. But they find that there's alien life on it. So they're like, let's go check that
shit
out.
Why were they going there?
Because they got some kind of, like, radio signal from it,
right.
I think.
Oh, okay.
So they're flying there, and as this is going on, they have this kind of B-plot going on with Tetsuo, which is one of...
Tetsuo!
No Kaneda in this one. they really should have Kaneda. So Tetsuo is basically dating this girl that turns out to be the sister of the astronaut.
Spoilers.
Yeah, Haruno. But they're talking about toys at a weird diner a weird restaurant, and this mysterious lady shows up that knows everything going on for some reason, so you're like, oh, this is...
He was selling that invention he made.
Well, we should mention, he's an inventor.
Yeah.
And he's basically inventing the rape whistle.
Yeah.
Like, he calls it the lady guard, I think.
Yeah,
the lady guard. But it just makes a really loud, annoying sound that sounds like really loud cicadas.
Yeah.
And, like, they never mention rape. but
we're all thinking
called the lady guard. It's called the lady guard. Yeah. It makes a loud, disturbing noise. What else? He says is meant to protect women.
Yeah.
What else is it meant to protect them from?
Ghosts. The male gaze.
Ghosts. Ghosts hate noise.
Yeah, everyone knows that. So yeah, when they're having this dinner, they keep cutting to the spaceship, and eventually it just goes back to the two astronauts.
Which is so confusing, because the interior of the, like, restaurant they're in has, like, star wallpapers, though I thought it was just shitty special effects where that they were in that spaceship.
I mean, yeah. it was just shitty special effects.
Yeah. I guess, but I thought they were on, like, a lounge car through space.
Yeah, that is kind of a running thing through these movies, where they'll have, like, establishing shots, but they put them in the wrong spot, mm-hmm. so you can't tell where anybody is.
Yeah, they should cut back to the spaceship twice, but then would cut back to the lounge car in space.
And I guess they didn't want anyone to forget, like, hey, there are guys in space, mm-hmm. too, right now.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. Like, it has this weird mixture of the spaceship looks so cheap and shitty, but, like, once again, the set designs and the fashion in this film are so fantastic.
Oh, very on point.
Do you guys think we should talk about Moth RuPaul's Drag Race? that's what we call when we talk about the fashion in the film.
Oh yeah, this seems like a good place for Moth RuPaul's Drag
Race.
There'll
be a jingle whenever we play that.
Okay, sure. Recording.
Moth RuPaul's Drag Race.
Pause for the jingle.
No, I just put it in.
Yeah,
no,
jingle. That's done in editing.
Please, moment of silence.
Yeah. Yeah. As a post production.
And a moment of silence for our troops.
No, for the jingle, yes. For the troops, I don't give a fuck.
Oh, no.
What about the jingle troops?
Oh, well, the jingle troops, this should never have silencers. Always be jingling.
Well, if we're going to talk fashion, I think the biggest thing to talk about is the same outfit that every single member of Planet X wears.
Oh, the Zillions, they're called.
The Zillions, that's what they call them?
Yeah.
Okay, but they all wear the same outfit, so it's like they're in, like, a band.
Yeah, that outfit is awesome.
the astronaut jumpsuits that they got later on.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty dope.
They had really cool collars, the little bit of orange. Like, I want that fucking jumpsuit.
Yeah,
they look like different eras of Devo that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Well, Glenn
are we not men?
Glenn had a, well, young Putin is what he fucking looked like. Had, like, a sweet-ass, like, he had a sweet-ass new wave haircut as well. He was all, like, super slick back on the sides and then, like, curly up top.
Yeah.
Glenn was a handsome man.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're, like, really into
Putin.
I'm very into Putin.
Well, yeah, I've seen those photos of him on horse. Yeah.
I'm very curious about Glenn because, like, as usual, we watch the subtitle version. But I'm wondering if maybe in the dub version they made him a bigger role.
I'm glad you asked this question. The actor was Nick Adams, who was a very big, famous rising star at the time. And then 3 years after this movie, he overdosed on painkillers.
Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah,
that's very sad.
Well, there's some facts.
Well, the
guys.
Pain of watching his girlfriend, who's supposed to marry, get zapped to death from Planet X aliens.
Yeah, that's coming up. His girlfriend too, Namikawa. She. Spoiler, I mean, you're going to listen to this podcast anyway. She turns out to be one of the aliens. But her outfits throughout the whole movie, those were on point.
Oh, yeah. She looked great.
This weird sequence gray and black dress she had on, which actually I just realized is sent up to the actual Zillion outfits, too.
She also had a great matching hat and, like, this little, I don't know, had a thing on it. It was good.
It was like a matching pillbox hat.
Yes.
Back when women still wore pillbox hats.
Back when fashion meant something.
Back when America was great. Damn it, you beat me to it. Oh, okay. Guys, vote Trump.
I also did find out that Planet X aliens, all the men, to me, were just like a tribe of men's rights activists who worship the computer.
Well, no, that's
so
the weird
a tribe of men's rights activists.
Yeah, exactly. That's why. Because they kept mentioning that they only do what the computer tells them to do.
Yeah, as we get later into the film, too, the men look different. And they even say, we do what the computer does, and we've decided on how women should look for beauty standards. So all the women look exactly the same, but the men look different. So they literally are MRAs.
The men, specifically, their outfits, to me, is what I would assume these fucking, like, men's red, like, red pill guys, like, think is cool by, like, sci-fi standards. Like, they wear these cool flashy jumpsuits and, like, the Star Trek visor and stuff.
Yeah. Is this movie a cautionary tale about Reddit?
Yeah, screw Gamergate. This is the real
That's all I was thinking of.
This is where the real, like, all right started, was that with this movie.
Oh, well, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves. So, like, the astronauts, Fuji and Glenn, they arrive on Planet X, they land, then they look around for a little while, and then their spaceship disappears.
Glenn disappears, too.
Glenn and the spaceship disappear. Then Fuji comes to try and find him. He's not freaking out
in a very, a very lackadaisical manner. Like, oh, yeah. I think there's a ship here.
Everyone in this film is way too calm about everything.
Yeah. Then a cylinder comes out of the ground.
Talking cylinder.
A talking cylinder telling him to get in.
To come inside me.
And they were seeing, like, golden lightning, which, like, we know what that means because we've watched all the movies up to this point.
But yeah, it means to worship Satan.
Yeah.
I mean, Zeus is on his way.
Yeah.
But yeah, he gets in the cylinder, they go underground, and he meets up with Glenn again. That's when you first meet the, what'd you call them, Zillions?
Yeah, the Zillions.
From Planet X. And at first they seem like they're nice guys. Like, they just want to, like, they're being attacked by what they call Monster X, which...
Monster Zero. Video games.
Yeah. And talk about, like, hey, maybe if we like how women look in these games, we don't need to change it. Yeah, they really are big MRAs, man.
Yeah.
So they talk to the astronauts saying that, like, hey, if you guys give us your monsters to deal with Monster Zero, because we named them Monster Zero, all of our
because
monsters...
Because they're being attacked by King Ghidorah.
Yeah. Because we've named all of our monsters by numbers, so the most deadly one's one. So, like, this monster is so fucking deadly, it's a concept. It's not even a number. It's zero, baby. So it comes in that they're like, we need Godzilla and Rodan because it's the only thing that can fight it. And even us as an audience, like, this doesn't seem like a good plan. Something seems off here.
Yeah. So, and no Mothra, even though Mothra was there the last time they fought.
It's probably it's cocooning, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't... Okay, when they talk about how they call it King Ghidorah Monster Zero, they, like, laugh, and they're just like, ah, yeah, you humans are so tethered to names. Even though Commandment is... He has a name.
Yeah.
And Monster Zero, naming him that way, is so much longer than just saying
Godzilla. Is it Commandment or Commandant?
I think it's...
Oh, yeah, it's probably
Commandant. Commandant Spangler.
Commandant's pretty good, but Commandment's also pretty badass.
Now, don't forget what these Zillions offered to sweeten the deal to get them to throw those monsters.
That's right. As you all just thought at home, the cure for cancer.
Just the cure for all cancers, because it's that fucking simple.
Man, these people in the 60s faces are going to be red once they hear about AIDS. Raw dog deal there.
Because AIDS came to Planet X, like, way before.
Yeah, they don't even talk about it. It's like, we got rid of that shit right away.
They call Ghidorah Monster Zero. Patient Zero.
It was Glenn fucking that woman from Planet X. That was the first, like...
Well, we just took AIDS a dark turn.
No Canadian flight attendant.
Yeah.
It was Planet X.
Oh, man. That sounds like a good band name, Canadian Flight Attendant. they're basically told back to head back to Earth. They go back to Earth, and I guess apparently the spaceship's super fast or something, because like you're saying, like, Luke kept making the joke, like, 10 years passed between each one, because they literally just get on their ship, and it looks like it's literally the next
Because they're flying to Jupiter.
Yeah. It's really far.
That's a weekend trip.
Yeah.
And they're in, like, a really... tightly enclosed spaceship, so they have to be good friends. They have to know what each other's dicks look like.
Well, it doesn't look like there are any bathrooms on that ship. It's just the cockpit.
Oh,
there seems like everything.
They're each other's bathrooms.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. They're the reason they call that room the cockpit.
Nice.
And the spaceship looks like a dick.
It does. One of us had to say. The best thing about it is that it has two Japanese flags on it next to it, so it looks like weird eyes on the ship, too.
Oh, well, when they first get to Planet X, like, they've got that flag that we think is going to be, like, an American flag, but then, like, he unravels it, and it's, like, an American flag, a Japanese flag, and a UN flag.
I was very upset. The American flag was on the bottom.
Yeah. At least they thought to include it. I mean, like, I guess Switzerland doesn't get any love. Switzerland or any of the other countless countries.
Even though Switzerland has the highest quality of life, so think about that.
Yeah, well, Switzerland...
Not in the 60s.
Yeah, why even put on the American flag when America had nothing... They didn't do shit in this entire...
Glenn?
Well, just... But is Glenn? I mean...
Glenn is America. America.
Yeah. Oh, Glenn is America. Okay, guys, we should talk about
Glenn's
this.
America.
Glenn is so American that in this film, when they land back on the planet, he's going to talk to his girlfriend that we were talking about earlier, which is Namikawa, and she's literally like, hey, man, listen, your dick is so good, we gotta get married. And Glenn's like, whoa, take it easy, baby.
I gotta go back into space first, man.
Well, he's the Matt Damon to this, the Great Wall.
Yeah, right? Exactly. He's the white savior.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's going on this early, even.
Keep your wetness back a little bit. I'll be back from space soon enough.
Yeah. Tsunami can wait, baby.
Even though he honestly, in the end, didn't really do a whole lot except be like, oh, I guess I did have the, like, things that we need to, like, win.
Yeah, it was also, though, like, so, when they first went to Planet X, they were asking, like, okay, we're being attacked by King Ghidorah, we need Godzilla and Rodan to fight him. I like to ask the Earthlings for this, but then they just, like, the planet, the zillions just go to Earth and take Rodan and Godzilla.
Yeah, this film
they
is
really crazy. Didn't need to exchange the cure for cancer at all.
No. When we talk about it out loud, it really is a lot of plot holes in this film.
And I'm guessing, like, they mentioned water a lot on Planet X.
Yeah, that never came into play.
Yeah.
Well, I'm guessing, like, it was meant, like, the idea was you were thinking, like, they needed Earth, which I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but they needed water.
Yeah.
Because they say that that water is more valuable than gold on their planet. Then when they go back to Planet X, you find out that the planet is filled with gold, which also never comes up again.
Yeah, like I was saying, when we were watching the film, I wanted, like, one of the astronauts to pull up a bottle of water and then all just just flip the fuck out.
Wait a second. If water on their planet is as valuable as gold and they have a shit ton of gold, doesn't that make water, like, worthless?
Yeah.
Well, they said it was more valuable than gold, didn't they?
Oh, okay then.
Which, I mean, if you've got so much gold, that means nothing.
Yeah. And I did like that one of the zillions just kept going, gold! There's gold in them everywhere!
There's gold in them, they're hills!
Wait, okay. We talked about... So they come into the planet, they just take Godzilla and Rodan.
Yeah.
Godzilla from, like, a lake, and Rodan from, like, a nearby mountain.
Literally right next to the lake.
Yeah. Like... I guess they're roommates, kind of. Or at least they like to stay close to each other.
I like to stay friends with Ben.
I guess so. I mean, at the end of the last movie, like King Ghidorah, the three-headed monster, they never showed what happened to Godzilla and Rodan, right? They were just, like, still there.
Yeah, they were just chilling afterwards.
Yeah.
I guess they were maybe tired.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Another thing we should talk about, too, John, is that in all the films we've noticed, there is the Japanese in these films don't have a sense of object permanence. Like, literally, as soon as Godzilla walks off, they're like, where'd he go? I don't know. And so this is the same thing with this film, where, like, literally, they've just disappeared. Everybody's like, yeah, Godzilla's somewhere. But
they deal with it a little bit better than this one, because at least they're like, do you think he's dead? And like, probably not.
Yeah,
he's probably going to come back in about a year.
Yeah.
If they fall into, like, the sea and then instantly make like work related jokes and just drive away.
That's right.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah.
No, this is make believe. Like, even like, well, okay, I don't know the full series, obviously, but like when they got to space and saw aliens and how like not shocked they were, all I could think about was just like, oh shit, what is the relationship with aliens? Why is this not a big deal? But then it's also like, oh, they have Godzilla already.
They got giant monsters that attack cities like no once a year.
Believe you me, no one freaks out about anything.
Yeah, I've talked about this a few episodes too. I like that they have really good world building or bad writing of just nobody reacts, because this has been around for a while.
Was it Monster X where we were like talking about how nonchalant everyone was the entire movie? Was it the last movie?
Yeah.
We were talking about that. This had a bit of that, too.
Yeah.
Like, everybody was like you just said, like, they encountered aliens, they weren't freaking the hell out, wanting to study everything, they're just like, oh, this makes sense.
Yeah.
You guys all dressed like a mod band, that makes sense.
They, the astronauts went back with the aliens, too, once they pick up Rodan and Godzilla, so they basically set them up with that sweet plane, they basically remade their spaceship, but better, so they can go back to Earth and deliver a message, but before they do... They look down at Godzilla and Rodan on the planet that they're keeping, and they're starting to, like, really humanize Godzilla, because even, like, Fuji's like, oh, he looks sad.
Yeah.
I feel kind of bad we're leaving him here.
Yeah, but, well, we kind of completely skipped, like, the fight between Rodan, Godzilla, and King Ghidorah.
Basically,
was really good.
Yeah. It's kind of like, I guess, a mock fight as we realize as the film goes on, but basically they get Godzilla and Rodan to fuck up King Ghidorah's shit. And once again, they have the common theme now, too, of rocks. In all the films we watched... Yeah. Godzilla and Rodan just keep throwing rocks at everything, which, makes sense.
I said it before, every kaiju, their entire fighting moveset is just four moves from Pokemon, and all of them know rock throw.
Hey, you know what? If it works, it works.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they fight King Ghidorah, and, like, they don't destroy Ghidorah, but they chase him off.
Yeah, they wreck his shit, and he just flies off to the other side of the planet.
Yeah, and then Godzilla does that victory dance we were talking about.
Oh, it was fantastic.
We were just like...
It's
I can't really describe it.
It's
over
pretty
a podcast.
Famous in later Godzilla films, but basically when he kicks somebody ass, he likes to jump up in there with his tail and then do a really sweet pose and then do it like three times in a row.
Where did he learn to dance, though?
His heart.
Okay. Where did that come from?
Yeah. If there's anything I know from Footloose, you just have to look at
the dance
thing.
Is a societal thing over time. Who taught him to dance?
Godzilla's getting smarter.
That's an evolutionary trait in kaiju.
Wait. Did we learn dance from Godzilla?
Oh, shit.
Whoa. Man, I hope you're smoking a lot of weed while you're listening to this podcast, because we're going to blow your minds.
Because if not, why are you listening to this podcast?
What are you doing?
Go to sleep. It's 3 a.m.
It must be lonely.
Probably for
babies.
You.
So
the Earthlings go home.
Yeah.
Glenn and Fuji. And didn't they have that other scientist with them, too?
Oh, I forgot to write his name.
Well, they were having their suspicions about the Zillions. Mm-hmm. So they, like, explored the base a little bit, even though they weren't supposed to. And that's when you find out that all the women look the same, and they look like Glenn's girlfriend.
Yeah.
What was her name?
That was Namikawa.
Yeah, so he's like, Namikawa?
Yeah.
And he's like, no, like, all of our women just look the same. Like, oh, okay.
And even then,
I guess I'm not going to assume that my girlfriend is also one of you guys.
Yeah. And then even then, the Zillions, like, when they say, like, yeah, they all look the same, he's kind of like, pretty fucking sweet, isn't it? Yeah. He tips his fedora.
Everything is coming up Glenn. Yeah.
Pretty great, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, they say that, hey, we'd normally, like, have to, you know, like, give you prison or something, but since you're visiting, no big deal. They give them a message delivered to Earth, so, like, we know some shit's about to go down.
Mm-hmm. Which they already had, like, you find out pretty soon that their plan was to get Rodan and Godzilla to put them under their control. Yeah. Why they didn't just kill them.
Yeah.
Why they sent them home.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess because we wouldn't have a movie.
There's a lot of weird parts of this.
Yeah, why did they have to attempt to make a deal with Earth when they just came down and took Godzilla and Rodan themselves?
I guess they maybe just wanted to go as peacefully as possible because they wanted the path of less resistance.
Like Gandhi.
I suppose, but those ships could move at light speed, so they could just come down and shoot.
Well, there's a tenth of light speed.
They're moving up to it eventually. Though.
Yes, yes.
We don't know their full capacity.
Okay, you're right. I'm sorry.
It's dying light speed.
I paid attention to maybe two things.
Yeah, but when they get back to Earth, as you can guess, like we were saying, they play the tape instead of it being...
Well, yeah, they're given the cure to cancer, which is on, like, a giant gold brick, like a disc cut out of it.
Yeah.
And then they get back to Earth to some kind of, like, UN room, and they play it on a reel-to-reel tape recorder.
Yeah, and of course, instead of it being the cure, they're like, hey, we're taking over, you dummies.
Yeah, you guys are all our slaves now.
It's a DJ Khaled album. Yeah, we're taking over.
And it's friggin' sweet. These beats are ridiculous.
Also, Japan's space program is just called the Space Agency. That's not real, right?
And now, time to listen to That Lovin' Feelin' by the Everly Brothers.
So, yeah, they basically announce that they're coming to take over and they have control of the monsters. So they have all their UFOs just pop up, and then we find out they've had a base on Earth for a while, which is why Glenn was dating Namikawa, who's actually, of course, a Zillion.
It's like a sweet bungalow.
Oh, yeah, we also missed the part where, like, Tetsuo, he sold his rape whistle to a toy company, which turns out were run by the Zillions who on Earth base.
Yeah.
Because the sound that it creates is harmful to them. Like I said, it sounds like really loud cicadas.
Yeah.
So, like, they basically just needed to wait, like, 7 years until the cicadas came out, and they would have had their shit fucked up anyway.
And that same point, concurrently, Glenn confronts Namikawa, being like, hey, you're an alien! And she's like, duh.
Yeah.
When that happens, the Zillions appear and tell Glenn, like, hey, we're gonna put you in prison because of this. And then, so many great lines from Namikawa saying, like, we were computed, or, like, was it... It was had a lot of weird lines of, like...
Well, like, they wanted to get married, but then she was like, well, the computer says that we have to get married now.
Yeah.
So let's just get married and, like, just be the slaves of the Zillions. Yeah. Everything will be okay.
Yeah, but then she fights
anymore. I actually fell in love with you. You were more than just a subject to me.
Yeah, exactly. So at that point, like, she gets emotional. The Zillions don't like that, so they zap her to death.
Which was kind of a sad death.
It was sad.
I was kind of...
It was a sad death. I like the effect a lot, because they just made her a negative image.
Yeah, and then she disappeared.
Glenn did not seem to care enough.
No, he's like, there's more of these sweet babes all around, man. Before she did get zapped to death, she slipped a little note in her pocket, which was funny, because... They made it seem like it was being stealthy, but how they shot it, all the aliens are surrounded, and it's like her like diving her hand down in his coat pocket, and...
Yeah.
She was trying to go for that D.
But then he, like, nods at her. There's a shot of his face, like, looking at her like he knew, but then...
But then later on...
The other dude finds it in his pocket.
Yeah, he had no idea it was in there. Yeah.
So Glenn is useless.
Yeah. They put Glenn in prison with Tetsuo, and basically...
Again, why they didn't just kill them.
Yeah. And they announce, like, hey, we can't get out of here. Even these bars they've made are soundproof. And they're basically just stuck in prison now, sucking each other up.
Yeah. And meanwhile, they've activated Rodan, Ghidorah, and Godzilla on Earth to start to destroy cities.
Yeah.
Like, they really, like, the Earth scientists are trying to figure out a way to stop the mind control that the Zillions have over the monsters. They figured out that it's, like, electromagnetic waves they're using to control them.
Yeah.
And they're trying to come up with, like, a way to do that, but it's slow going.
Yeah. That's when we figure out that the note says, basically, Namakawa said, hey, there's a certain sound that causes it. We realize it's the... Once again, the Tetsuo has the thing on him they threw him in prison with.
Yeah. Like, why he just had an extra one of them, which, I come back to, like, if they hadn't come down there and bought his invention and put him in jail, they never would have figured out that this was their Achilles heel. They could have taken all of them down.
Dog whistle.
Yeah. Because, like, Fuji already hated Tetsuo because he was dating his sister.
Yeah.
So, like, he never been like, oh, I bet they're weak against sound. Yeah. Maybe your weird compact rape whistle will hurt them.
Yeah.
Like, no, they fucked themselves over by trying to take out a potential threat.
The Zillions are not smart.
They're not very smart at all.
Voiced by their own petard. Yeah. Is that how it's said? I don't remember how it's said. Is it petard?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not sure what you're trying to say.
Hey, Google it.
Retard.
Yeah. Voiced by their own retard.
Retard.
Oh, boy. Okay.
If you say it with a rolled Veep. R, it's not as bad.
Yeah. Hey, guys, go watch Veep 2. That is a good series. So, yeah, they Tetsuo figures it out. Literally, there's two guards right there, so they play it. They fall over from the noise. They grab their keys.
Well, they don't just fall over. They are...
They're in agony.
Horrible, horrible pain.
It looks like they're having a pain seizure. That one guy is just, like, sticking his tongue in and out of his mouth, like, a lot.
Yeah,
like, I thought he was going to, like, bite down and just bite the tip of his tongue off, which, like, it almost makes you... I know they're trying to take over Earth, but it almost makes you feel bad for him, just how much it hurts them.
They haven't killed any people yet.
Yeah. They didn't even say what they're going to do if they took over Earth.
Well, they said they were going to make it, like, a colony, but, like, they didn't go further than that. But the British kind of showed what happened when you make things colonies.
Yeah. Well, they kept talking about water, so I'm assuming they wanted Earth's water.
The message just came out, like, we're going to have universal health care, better standards of living.
I did like that one-minute scene where they had, like, the rest of Earth freaking out about it. Just nothing but, like, stills of, like, unrelated protests. I'm sure that's what they were, like, real protests. They just took stills of.
There's still global scale to everything. That's what it was. Basically, it was all just Japan, and then Glenn, I felt, with the representation of all Caucasians all over.
Yeah.
Pretty much, and that's it.
I guess
all non-Asian people.
Yeah.
Good representation.
Yeah. Glenn is basically the perfect American, where he doesn't show up to do anything good. He just bones somebody, and then he falls in jail. Just as simple as that.
Classic American.
Yeah.
Like Foxy Noxy.
He's like us all, man.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Glenn and all of us. I think that's what we can learn.
If we learn anything from Glenn, he wants that to happen.
All 8 inches.
What a dirty dog. they get out of the prison. They give him the sound wave. The scientists are like, sweet.
And they play that over every radio in Japan.
Yeah.
This is basically the plot of Mars Attacks.
Yeah,
I guess it is. Yeah. Yeah, like how they defeated the aliens in Mars Attacks.
Oh my god, Mars Attacks stole it all from Godzilla.
Tim Burton, you're a hack. I'm sorry that you listen to our podcast and you have to find out this way.
To be fair, the original Mars Attacks cards probably came out around this time.
Yeah, that's true. Mm. And then we were starting to even ask at this point, like, how much more time is left in the movie, because it was getting late, and then we looked at the time, it was, like, literally 10 minutes, so they are wrapping up at a lightning, like, quick pace at this point.
I do want to say some of the best destruction, like, any of the Godzilla movies, because, like, I talked about this a little bit in Monster X from Outer Space, where, like, they actually seem to be intentionally destroying stuff, rather than they're just walking past... And they're just so big, they accidentally destroy everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No pagodas got destroyed.
Yeah.
It was like, I feel like the last two movies we've watched, and King Ghidorah, he flew over the pagoda and it got kind of destroyed.
They heard that joke I made in, like, the second episode. They were just like, we're going to put a stop to this.
Yeah, we're going to stop being racist against pagodas.
Those time-traveling Japanese filmmakers. the destruction scenes are pretty good. Once again, all the set designs and pieces for those are pretty fantastic. It's just all the wonderful things that you...
Very good miniatures. Mm-hmm. Like I said, like, for, like, when this movie came out, what was it, 1965?
Yeah.
Very good special effects that still hold up.
Yeah.
Like, you can tell, like, when something's a miniature, but still looks it still looks good.
A cool thing I noticed they did, too, for the special effects in... King Ghidorah's lightning, the first film that we watched, looked kind of cheesy, where it just, like, shoot around the ground. But this time, it has like an actual tracking shot of like, I don't know if it's explosives they put in the floor, but wherever it hit, it had this like huge line of destruction that'd go over it. And
yeah.
It was pretty fucking.
They probably just like blew the thing up and drew lightning in afterwards.
Yeah. So yeah, that's that basically brings it to they come out of their control. So Rodan and Godzilla are very pissed. And
yeah, they create like a whole bunch of these like anti-electromagnetic wave machines that have speakers on them to transmit the sounds, and they use the electromagnetic waves to disrupt the control from the zillions.
Sorry. They also made those machines really quickly.
Like there were like eight of them, they created them in 12 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, like when they figured out about the sound, they added all those megaphones to them as well.
Yeah, this movie's really a testament to the industrial heart of mankind. Yeah.
And I like you mentioned, where like the sound not only hurts the zillions, it also affects their machinery too. Yeah,
it fucking wrecks
their ships. Part too. Once again, I felt bad because they looked like they were in a lot of pain.
No, they are in horrible pain. They're
enough
to
kill themselves.
Their buildings are burning down. Their ships are catching on fire. And then they say, the commandant says, like, we're going to escape to the future. And then they blow up their ships.
Yeah. What if that's a weird philosophical stance on things? Like, who knows where we're going to go, but wherever it is, it's going to be the future from here on out.
That's what I was saying. Like, is that like kind of like a metaphorical statement? Or is it some kind of weird time travel that works from blowing yourself up?
There's only one way to
find
out.
Like 12 monkeys time travel.
We need to explode ourselves to find out.
I got a lighter. Where's the gas?
Okay, let's do this.
Was that like the entire like population of Planet X in those like three spaceships?
No,
like, I assume there's got to be a lot more of them out there.
That's the weird line too. Is that after they blow up all the Earth colonies?
Then after Godzilla and Rodan and King Ghidorah are out of mind control and they fight each other.
The reason we're talking about this very quickly is because literally Rodan and Godzilla kick his ass so quick that they literally just fall off a cliff and then Ghidorah flies away.
Well, he flies back to space.
Yeah.
Godzilla learns how to box properly.
Yeah.
He knows the fancy footwork and everything.
He even does that like, come on, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. Yeah.
This was actually the film Sylvester Stallone watched to get the inspiration for Rocky.
I thought you were going to say Italian Stallone. Dang it. But yeah, so that goes by quickly, but the reason I'm speeding to the end is when they ask, like, hey, what about Planet X? The one head military commander is like, well, you guys got to fly back there. And literally the movie ends with like, nah, we don't want to do that. And then it just cuts to the end.
You go to Planet X again.
Yeah.
Just the big red kanji that says end. Comes up like it does in every single Godzilla movie.
Oh, don't forget, that scientist is now okay with that inventor dicking his sister.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
he did kind of invent the thing that kind of saved
humanity.
It almost sounded like the lyrics to the I'm a Lover, but instead
I'm a cuck.
I'm a cuck. Cuck, cuck, cuck.
I'm a cuck. I'm a cuck. I'm a cuck. I'm a cuck. I'm a cuck. I'm a cuck. I'm a cuck.
Oh boy, there goes our listeners again.
It was a good jingle.
It was. I'll make a jingle for that too.
A jingle for that jingle.
Yeah, basically it's just gonna be I'm a Lover, but with the word cuck of me saying
cuck, 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 cuck.
Anyways. So yeah, we've wrapped it up. We're almost done, but this is leading to my favorite thing is whenever I have to explain this of our rating system. So as you can see, Martin and Luke just look very sad.
Here's how it works. As you can see through the sound.
So we do this two ways. If you like Godzuki, which is the son of Godzilla, you can give it like 10 out of 10 Godzukis, and that means it's really good. If you don't like Godzuki, you can give it 10 out of 10 non-Godzukis, and that means it's really good. Now, if you have no opinion...
If I like Godzuki?
Godzuki, son of Godzilla.
Assuming you know what Godzuki is...
No.
I was going to say that's an important question to ask.
So you have to make some assumptions here.
Okay. So less Godzuki means I dislike it.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you're indifferent towards Godzuki and you give a 5 out of 10 non-Godzukis, it means it's perfect. And you win the golden ticket.
Brandon, what are you saying?
I had a seizure.
We've been doing this for literally every episode, and I still don't understand how it works.
2 Godzukis.
Okay, yeah, that's pretty good.
Is it?
I don't know.
Yeah, yes. The fewer Godzukis you give it, the better it is.
Oh,
the more non-Godzuki you give it, the better it is.
Nice. That's amazing.
Oh, goddamn, French. This is a bit for only you.
Yeah, it is. And I'm going to do it every episode. Until the government cancels
this. This entire podcast is just a vehicle for Brandon to write jingles, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, there's one of my new jingles right now.
Yeah. I can't believe I keep giving myself more work. Please, Lord, kill me.
And I should say, when I write jingles, I look through my music library and say, what's the most annoying sounded song that I could put a word over?
Oh, just the rape whistle, like, sound over and over
again. Yeah, I'll edit that in. So I'd give this film a solid, I'm going a little higher now for the score. This is a 7.5 non-Godzukis.
Non-Godzuki.
Because I don't like Godzuki.
Oh, what's, okay.
So it's getting a little better. The plot was actually somewhat interesting. The set design and costumes were fantastic. And the characters were pretty likable. Like I said, that Glenn was a lovable scamp. Just going around dicking things up. And then the monster fights were pretty fun. And then Godzilla does the weird dance in this film, so perfect film. 10 out of 10 non-Godzukis.
So you said 7.5, then 10 out of 10.
Yeah, I decided for 10 out of 10 after I talked about it.
Okay.
No, it's 7.5 out of 10.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to give the same rating as you. It's 7.5 non-Godzukis.
Yeah.
Because I definitely think, I know I've said this about a bunch of them, but this is the best one we've watched so far, mainly because the kaiju fights were not the most interesting part of the movie. Like, they're definitely, I guess, the best parts, you could say. And I know you can't see this because of the podcast, but I'm doing air quotes when I say best part.
Oh.
That's what those are. I thought you were pointing down to Satan and then pointing up the guy.
But the human parts of the movie didn't completely fucking bore me to death.
Yeah.
And I appreciated that, and also the fights were really good, even though some of them were a bit shorter than they should have been. So I feel you got more destruction of cities than you did of fights between the kaijus, which was a little disappointing, but overall it's probably one of the best ones we've watched so far. So 7.5 non-Godzukis.
All right. I love Godzuki, so I'm going to give this film 8 Godzukis.
Ooh.
As everyone's been saying,
It's a hit.
I also think it's the best Godzilla film we've seen so far. What I appreciated most is the plot did not veer off in 7 different directions and, like, not add up to anything.
Uh-huh.
The plot added up to something. Like, it all kind of tied together in its own weird way.
No loose ends.
Yes. At first, I really thought, that whistle thing was going to be something that was offhandedly mentioned once and then came back to save us at the end, just like the steel was, like, 3 movies ago.
Yeah.
But, like, they kept it as something going on throughout the whole film. And again, Glenn is fantastic. Did some sweet dickin'. All about Glenn. Welcome to the number one Glenn podcast.
So this series is like the Fast and Furious series, where it doesn't get good to like 5 or 6 in.
Yeah, that actually is kind of true.
Not counting the first movie.
Yes, because I would say like the first movie is important to watch just for not only historical context. Significance, I genuinely think it's a good movie, albeit a bit slow.
Yes.
When we first watched it, like I said, because me and Martin did the first episode together, we gave it kind of a lower rating because, like, it's kind of slow, and then going through is like, oh no, this is way worse as it goes, and then now it's getting good again.
Well, it's not even really, like, these are action movies. The original Godzilla is not really an action movie. It is, has something to say, whereas these are just fucking popcorn movies.
Yeah.
I completely forgot to make this point. The aliens offering a cure for cancer, I at first thought was some kind of they were talking about like radiation therapy for cancer, but then that never came up in any meaningful way. So
they never actually gave a cure for cancer.
No, they didn't. So
what's the worst one so far?
The one we watched last time wasn't a Godzilla film, but it was pretty bad.
I'm going to say Godzilla Rides Again.
That's the one. Number 2.
Yeah.
That movie sucks.
Godzilla Rides Again and or Gigantus the Fire Monster.
Yeah, he fights Baragon in that one, and it's
Baragon we haven't seen again. I know he comes back up.
Yeah.
Does he not show up again until
the Eternal Monsters? Yeah, he gained a lot of weight between the films, and he didn't want to go on looking bad, so he's like kind of on a good diet right now, trying to get buff, you know.
Yeah.
In the 60s.
Yeah, and he was ahead of his time, man.
Yeah. Well, just because the dude in the suit had to, like, lay down in order to play.
So yeah, that wraps up our rating system, which is still perfect and good.
He hasn't rated it.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
He rated it.
No, I rated it.
I didn't really say I didn't understand what I was saying.
Oh, okay. That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
I use a different rating scale. It's the Chud system. That's Cannibalistic Humanoid Underground Dwellings.
Yeah. As we all know.
So probably 6 out of 10 Chuds.
I like this. I think from here on out, I might have the guests just make their own rating system up.
I like that too.
Yeah.
And hell, I gave it one of the movies like a billion M&Ms once.
Oh, that's a good movie.
That's a lot of M&Ms.
Yeah, it was a good one.
I don't like them. It was like the chocolate M&Ms though.
So oh, okay. I think that was
for that very bad.
Chocolate. I give this film 7 containers of Pringles.
Okay. Let's do this real quick before we get into doing the pop culture of the time. Best M&M type by far, peanut butter M&Ms.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. Crispy M&Ms.
Yeah.
Okay. No, second,
peanut butter M&Ms are so fucking good. They had to have been made by like a candy devil. Yeah,
exactly. Well, we all know the candy devil, which is God, I can't think of a funny candy name right now.
Well, I think number one would be crispy M&Ms. Yeah. Then second would be peanut M&Ms.
I could debate that.
I could too.
Yeah.
Crispy's good, but peanut butter.
Hey, yeah.
I mean I'm thinking about the ones with peanuts in them, or the ones that have peanut butter in the
peanut
center?
Butter.
I'm thinking of the ones with peanuts. Like I don't. Gross. The ones that have peanut butter in the center.
Have you had them before?
The fuck off this podcast.
Yeah, we gotta kick you out, man.
I mean,
you can't have me peanut butter.
I've had them before, but like, I guess I like peanut butter, but it just makes me think of dead ladybugs.
Oh.
Well,
that's a nice way to end this
podcast. Because dead ladybugs smell like peanuts. Have you ever noticed that?
No.
Wait, did you say peanuts or penis?
Peanuts.
Okay.
I have not smelled
dead ladybugs. Well, my parents' house, like, every summer, like, somehow a bunch of ladybugs would get into our house and just die. Like, you never saw them alive. They were always just dead, like, by the air vents.
Is this where the nightmares come from?
And it smelled like peanuts. And like, I think because of that, for a long time, I could not eat peanut butter.
That's a good reason.
It made me think of dead ladybugs.
Maybe peanuts just kill ladybugs.
I mean, it's not like we had a lot of peanuts lying around.
Whoa.
Sorry, that was me.
Okay. I think we got a new game we have to do next time, which is Luke's Memories of Ladybugs. that settles out the rating system. And also check out Chud if you haven't. That's a great film. So, pop culture at the time, we like to review like the film whenever it came out. So this is 1965 of what was going on. So the major notes I made of the most important things, for sure. My Mother, the Car, one of the best sitcoms ever made, came out in 1965.
Was that Dick Van Dyke's brother? That was in that show?
Yeah, Richard Van Dyke.
Richard Van Dyke, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, what's the one on Coach? Isn't that Jerry
Van Dyke? That's his brother. Isn't it? That's the same guy.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
That Jerry Van Dyke.
Yeah, a Jerry Van Dyke.
Oh, okay. I didn't know the Dyke family had a big acting family.
Another
fucking Dyke family.
Whoa.
That Dyke family on the street.
Yeah.
I forget, Van is not like his middle name.
Another cool thing about this year, this 1965 is officially when Canada changed its flag to the maple leaf.
Ooh. What was it before that?
I don't know, probably a moose fucking something. Take that, Canada.
A moose fucking Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah. Good. Take that, Abraham.
It's a moose fucking Dudley Do-Right.
Yeah. Fuck, that's hot. Oh, man.
It was Bullwinkle. Duh. Yeah. I'm an idiot.
Yeah. This is also a famous fight that happened this year of Muhammad Ali against
Godzilla.
Sonny. Yeah, against Godzilla. Where he famously KO'd him in the first round. Yeah.
How did that never be at least a comic book?
I'm sure it was.
I'm sure we're
Well, as we all famously know, we have Charles Barkley versus Godzilla.
Yes.
A canonical comic by Dark Horse. Dark Horse.
Ride the Shuba?
Dark Horse. Rise you, Superb. Nice. Okay. That's a weird thing. So, to bring us back to Godzilla himself, this is also the year that Tokyo became the largest city in the world compared to New York. It surpassed it in population and size at this point.
Take that.
Wait, Godzilla didn't fuck that up?
No, man. That's how resilient they were as people. They're like, build it back up.
Oh, you guys, Godzilla's not real.
Wait,
what are we even doing? I thought we were watching documentaries.
Yeah, the best documentaries ever made. I mean, we got Godzilla, we got Freddy Got Fingered. What's another good documentary?
I'm gonna name every Godzilla movie again.
No. Oh, so John is a good comedy friend of mine. We did a few shows together before in the past. One of them was we went up to Kenosha, Wisconsin, and I thought it'd be a funny bit to name all 28 Godzilla films at the time for no reason. And
what I've learned from that moment and from then on is that Brandon has no idea how to read a room.
No, I don't. Sometimes I'll do comedy like, that was good. Sometimes I'll be like, I don't think they like me.
Not a bunch of middle-aged, like, white dudes in Kenosha are going to like you naming every Godzilla movie.
I thought they were going to get real fucking horny.
We tried, man.
We tried.
Are you horny for Godzilla?
I am, and my name's Brandon. Please get on board.
There's got to be a fetish
but
for that somewhere.
I have plenty of Godzilla pornography I can put on our website once it gets going.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Oh my Godzilla.
Yeah. Well, there's got to be better puns we could think of.
I'm just...
It's late.
It's 1 a.m.
Yeah, we're almost done. The one fact I wanted to leave before we get to the games, and then we can finish this up, is the most important thing, guys. This was the year, the birth of our Lord and Savior, Kevin James.
Kevin James was born this year?
Paul Blart, the
zookeeper himself, Paul Blart, Lord Controller, here come the boom.
Thank God.
Here it comes.
He's getting a comedy special on Netflix.
Yeah.
I was trying to remember his name from King of Queens, but I can't remember. Yeah. I know it was Doug, but
Doug
I can't
Heffernan.
Remember. Doug Heffernan, yeah.
Can I take some guesses?
Spinoff from Everybody Loves Raymond.
Yeah, that was a fucking weird idea for a spinoff.
Can I guess?
Because of Jerry Stiller.
And, Patton Oswalt was in a couple of
episodes. He was in a lot of it, yeah.
Yeah, no, he's Spencer. Regular.
But what I wanted to guess real quick is that Kevin James' special is going to be, I fell down and I farted.
I'm going to be disappointed if
I got hit in the balls by giraffes.
The second special he's doing.
It's like his Comedy Central special for like years and years ago is fucking hilarious. Mm-hmm. I'm actually excited for
Kevin James got too fat to be in movies.
It's actually him writing stuff and not like just doing a Happy Madison movie.
Yeah, I shouldn't shit on him.
I like his bit about how like he reacts the same like if a shark brushes up against him to where if a piece of seaweed touches his foot.
Yeah.
The whole greeting card like or picking out a birthday card or whatever bit is so fucking good.
It's one of those things where like people make fun of him for selling out. I would do that in a heartbeat.
Oh, are you kidding?
I'm
only in this business to eventually sell out.
As soon as I
get the opportunity, I'm fucking gone.
Hey, we're going to have this on iTunes eventually. Steve Jobs, ghost, give us money.
Yeah,
that's how it works.
I would kill to be in a movie where I am the president of the United States. Adam Sandler is my best friend, and I get to kill Pac-Man.
Oh my God.
By the way, guys, don't watch Pixels.
Yeah.
Yeah. Watch the short film that it was based on.
Yeah,
yes.
The movie. That's right.
Is it called Pixelate?
I can't remember. Do you know what it was called?
I just saw it on YouTube, like however many years ago.
Anything good from Pixels came from the short film that the movie was based on. When like the Tetris blocks come down and delete parts of skyscrapers, mm-hmm. that came from the short film.
Yeah.
So I think to make this go a little quicker because we got deep into this, we have two games that we usually really like to do, but the most important one is we like to have our guests and ourselves lick a 9-volt battery.
Licking a 9-volt. Ask your parents for permission.
Oh yeah, I'll do that.
Okay.
Did that all the time growing up.
So we got an old one we've all licked a lot, or I have a new one. How do you want to do this?
Let's do the new one.
Let's get fresh blood.
It's not even
a germ thing.
That one doesn't sting enough. I licked it several
again.
I don't know if you guys noticed. I licked it several times while we were.
I was doing noticing that.
Yeah.
John goes first.
I'm the only one who seems to enjoy it.
Like I played with batteries. Come on now.
It's strong, isn't it?
It's strong.
What does this have to do with Godzilla?
Electricity is a constant theme.
Okay.
I
came up with the idea. I just wanted to lick a 9-volt battery.
Yes.
We just kept it going.
And the first one, I just went up to my fire alarm, pulled it out, and it was like, we're doing this every show now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Hello.
Man, you're getting into that. Oh, boy.
Your neck, Dirkman.
It's okay.
It feels good. It's
you
like,
just gotta rub that on your tail.
Yeah. I feel like this is like the modern day Blood Brothers here, but we're not gonna like cut our hands and put them together. It's just
this is a strong one.
We're Thunder Tongues now.
Yeah. Ooh, I like that. Is that what we call our fans?
Thunder Tongues?
For the podcast, we still haven't put on any network yet, but we're working on it.
We're disciples of something. I don't know. We'll come up with something religious.
Yeah, Thunder Tongues is pretty good though.
Okay.
So also for you guys at home, you kids at home, if you take a 9-volt battery and put it to a piece of steel wool, it makes it burst flames.
Oh shit, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Is that true?
You've never done that before?
No.
Yeah, you put it against a piece of steel wool, it'll like combust. It's not like an explosion, so combustion is not the right term, yeah. But it will catch a flame.
This Godzilla podcast just slowly turns into the anarchist book here.
We're just trying to burn your house down.
Yeah.
The house that you and your entire in-law family lives in.
I feel like we mentioned earlier, too, we have another game we do in here called What's the Deal with These Kaijus?
Theme song.
What's the deal with these kaijus? Another great jingle. The theme song, by the way, is the Seinfeld theme, and then I say, what's the deal with these kaijus?
What's the deal with these kaijus?
What's the deal?
What's the deal with these kaijus?
Okay, sorry, I'm sorry.
We do that every time, too.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like building up to it.
I really wanted to do that.
As you might have guessed, this is where we debate what is and what isn't a kaiju. So we have two rules so far we've determined.
Can I point to things in the room and ask if that's a kaiju or not?
Yeah, of course.
This glass.
Okay, he's pointing at a glass. Well, it's debate.
No.
Yes.
Okay, well, here's the thing. The two rules we have so far, things that prevent things from being kaiju. A certain sense of consciousness or knowing oneself. And the second is if it can pick up a notebook and write the word kaiju on the notebook.
Yeah,
that glass can't do either of those things. That glass is a kaiju.
Even that first one is a little wrong because Mothra is a kaiju, but she knows what she is.
Can Mothra?
She knows what she's all about.
Yeah. Godzilla can dance. That takes a sense of self and a love of self.
Don't they eventually have a movie where Godzilla even starts talking?
Probably.
Wait, he hasn't been talking all these films?
I mean, maybe some kind of like booga booga Godzilla language.
He hasn't been talking directly to Kirkman for the last 20 years of his life.
Oh boy, I've killed a lot of people I need to take back.
But anyway, we always do like one specific thing. What do you guys have for this one?
We talked about earlier, the fifth element.
The fifth element. Is the fifth element a kaiju?
Now, for the listeners at home...
Like a DVD copy of it?
Well, should we give away what the fifth element is or the movie, should we say?
I mean, is it like almost 20-year-old movie? I don't think.
No spoilers.
No spoilers.
Okay, the fifth element's love. That's what it is.
Yeah,
girl. So. Really?
I would argue that love's the most destructive kaiju of all.
I agree with that 100%.
That's deep. Yeah. I think that's a Bruce Springsteen song, actually.
Love is a kaiju, and it destroys us all. It's also the fifth element.
Fucking weeaboo Bruce Springsteen.
Oh my god, what a great character.
That movie sounds so much more stupid than I thought it did.
Was it
Jean-Luc Besson?
It's stupid in like the best ways. It's cheesy and fucking much fun.
Yeah, Luc Besson. You made it more French. Luc Besson.
I guess I just love Star Trek The Next Generation so much. I had to have the
Jean-Luc Besson card. what do you feel then about love?
In kaiju form.
I kind of feel like, yeah, maybe, because, like, how destructive it is and how, like, bullshit it is.
Yeah. Wow.
Part of me wants to say no, but...
We know the truth.
I'm gonna go with yeah, sure.
How do you feel, John?
Yeah, the destruction, for sure. Anytime that I get to see... Idris Elba battle it in a movie, I'm all for it.
So the two things for sure that we have agreed that are kaiju is Zoolander 2.
Well, once again, like the idea, like a copy of the movie or the whole movie.
The whole movie. It's such a terrible concept
of the movie.
Yes, yes.
Because I was going to say it has to have some sort of physical manifestation, but love does not.
Yeah. Even if the movie had never come out, it still would have been a kaiju.
Zoolander 2 is a destructive beast that never should have existed.
That's true.
If not for mankind's meddling.
And I love
Ben Stiller's career.
And I love Zoolander 2. I mean, I did this last time. I love Zoolander, the first
as
movie.
As well.
So the other things we've shot down, too, that are kaiju bio debates are Galactus, Clifford the Big Red Dog, and Shrek.
Don't forget the Beverly Hillbillies.
And
too.
The Beverly Hillbillies.
Like, is that the first
stacked
episode?
On top of each other.
See, that's what he said.
Well, that would be like a Voltron.
Yeah, they would have
like
been
a human Voltron.
Yeah.
They would fight kaiju, I feel like.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, would, like... I don't think a Voltron would be a kaiju because they're...
Ooh,
like,
that's... Save it for next time.
Because they're controlled by humans.
Yeah.
Well, I'll come up with something, because you guys have been coming up with something.
They use the electromagnetic waves to control Godzilla and whatnot.
I feel like I...
Jed! Jed, you gotta go for the head!
I feel like we say this every episode, but, like, Man, it gets so good towards the end of these episodes, guys. Don't think it's just about Godzilla.
Get to the juicy bits. Licking batteries.
Yeah. It's about licking batteries. Speaking and talking about love, the kaiju. More. We've gone pretty long. We should just get straight up to the last two things we do, which is the recommendations and the plugs.
Mm-hmm.
So, plugs. Yeah.
All right.
Don't worry, it's more of a joke than anything.
If I may start off the recommendations, I'd like to recommend the band Anamanaguchi. I'm a big fan of chiptune music, and they are a real good, fun band.
You know what I like? The song Prom Night.
Oh, Prom Night's fucking great. They're
the Scott Pilgrim game.
So yeah.
But they make pretty good music by themselves.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm gonna fucking get on your recommendation. Let's go down chiptune alley. Not quite chiptune, more future bass. If you're not familiar with that kind of music, it's like, hey, if I wanted to hear the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air theme instrumental and then have people sing over it with their own their lyrics, that's future bass music. There's an artist by the name of Bowen who makes some really fun tunes. It's basically like if Hot Chip and Animal Crossing fuck each other really hard and had a baby.
Wow, I love everything about that sentence.
So check out Bowen, B-O-E-N. He's on Spotify, he's on Bandcamp. If you can't find him, you're bad at the internet and you should hate yourself. So, there.
Okay, I'm going to recommend a video game again, actually. It's an older game, but I've been playing it a lot recently. It's called Mighty Switch Force by WayForward. And it's basically just like you play like as a cop, or in the sequel, Mighty Switch Force 2, you're a firefighter. But you have like a button that controls like platforms where like you need to be like to where you can't step on them or can step on them. So it's kind of like a puzzle game, but also like a platformer. It's a lot of fun. And like, yeah, it's a really fun game. So like, if you've got like, I downloaded on my 3DS. I don't know if it's available on any other platforms.
I'm pretty sure it was available on Steam, but I'm not sure about that because I also have it on my 3DS, and that is a very good game.
Yeah, it's awesome. So like, if you've got a 3DS, you can definitely get it. If you've got any other platform that has Steam, maybe you can get it. So just look it up.
Also, please don't call me an idiot if I was wrong about it.
Idiot.
I'm going to recommend not doing something, which is watching what I did last week, was watch all four of the original Alien movies back to back to back.
Oof.
Because there is a swift decline in quality. That kind of fucks up my feelings about one and two, like back to back. Aww. So, don't do that. But overall, yeah, some fun movies there.
Yeah, I agree.
Podcasts about those.
I agree with that completely, because Alien and Aliens are a masterpiece. And then Aliens 3 is kind of like...
It is good. If you watch them all back to it, I think it is complete garbage. I used to think it was okay, but watching it right after
that might do it for me, because I've always watched it separately. I've been like, it's all right.
Even 2, I still love, and that's the one I grew up with and watched the most. Yeah. It's kind of hard after watching
I think Alien is the only one that I think is like a true masterpiece.
The only thing...
It's kind of cheesy.
Yeah.
It's got some really cheesy
macho shit in it. Yeah, it's too action-y, where like the first one is just a really good suspense.
It's a haunted house
movie. I guess, it's a slasher movie.
This might sound oddly...
I feel the same way about Terminator.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This might sound oddly sexist or just too much of a horn dog thing, but I always remember with Alien, what's the last one? Or the fourth one?
Alien Resurrection.
I just remember
one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
It's really bad, but I just remember a shot of Winona Ryder's butt and being like, nice.
Was that the one that was written by Joss Whedon?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
It is so overly sexual for no reason.
Yeah.
It's so weird. Ripley basically fucks an alien in it. Like,
yeah.
Well, I mean, she was an alien pretty much in that movie, right?
Yeah, basically, is they find her DNA. Somehow, after in 3, she dives into, like, molten lava. Somehow
because she got a chest burst. Spoilers.
Depending on what cut you
watch. For over 20 years ago.
I watched both cuts. One of it, it doesn't burst through. But basically, they find her DNA, and then because she has the queen in her, it fuses her as, like, she's half alien, half human hybrid, and she can, spit. Or, like, her blood is, like, the acid shit. But that's, like, it. But also, she's, like, cool with aliens. And then it's the weirdest guy.
I know that scene when she throws the basketball behind her lands. Like, did they actually do that?
Did that one shot.
Yeah. And Ron Perlman almost ruined it by losing his shit. Because he was about to go, like, oh shit! Yeah. But he stopped himself at the last second because he knew they would have to shoot it like another 10 times.
It is ridiculous. Yeah, it's a dude who directed Amelie, directing that, which is
Just remember, everyone, if Firefly continued, it would have been like that.
Yeah, probably. I guarantee. I mean, look at Dollhouse, so...
Oh, God, don't make me.
Yeah, no.
Welcome to the Dollhouse.
Oh, even that's better. So, yeah, finally, a plug, so we can plug what we're going on. So I've plugged a road tour I did 3 months ago a few times now. That already happened. I'll go over it again. So like the first night, we were in Louisville. It was pretty great. We had a great show. Really liked it. Dan Alton's a gem of a human being. Second night, we were in Athens, Georgia. Pretty great house show. Third night, Nashville. Too late of a show. Don't put up 10 comics after 10:30 p.m. And then Jesus. Fourth night, we did St. Louis, and it was one of the best shows ever done. So that's my plug for the last plug that I did about the road tour I did before that, which was in February 15th to the 19th.
Be sure to get the Time Machine and go see those nights.
God, they were so good, except for the Nashville show.
For Nashville.
My plug is going to be, once again, for the restaurant I work at. I work at Parts and Labor on Milwaukee and 2700 North Milwaukee Avenue in Logan Square. Next month, which is going to be, what is next month?
April.
Yeah.
When is this
April. Yes. Every month the specials have a theme. Next month is going to be cult movies.
Yeah.
So like one of the specials is going to be called The Time Warp.
Which is a
chicken burger with Gouda cheese, fried onions, and the bun is a brioche bun dipped in a mixture of tomato juice, thyme, and cayenne pepper.
Ooh.
Do you get four of those so you can do the time warp again?
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
oh boy.
We'll deal with that.
Podcast canceled.
You son of a bitch!
Yeah, you ruined this. I should, you know what, I'm going to go real back quick.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry, I do...
More past dates.
So the tour I did before,
we did like 3 years ago.
Yeah, even though this is going up in April, the other podcast I work on Machine Culture, which we'll be putting this on eventually, called Clerk and Dagger, we had our musical episode we did for the second season written up on the AV Club, which is pretty awesome. But I really recommend go back if you ever want to check out another podcast. It's the one I work on with Jesse Nicholas and Richard Kuznick.
You should learn your friend's name.
His last name is all super Polish. I can't help it.
Racist.
Yeah, Brandon.
But we put a lot of time into that episode. It turned out to actually be a really good musical because Jake Duar did the music for it. He's an actual musician, so I recommend checking that out whenever you hear this.
Congrats again on that, Brandon.
Thank you. I'm pregnant.
I'm going to plug the same thing I always plug, which is my comedy open mic and showcase, the Cupcake Comedy Open Mic and Showcase. It happens at Gallery Cabaret every Thursday, 7 to 9. Free cupcakes, good comedians, and I'm there sometimes.
Yeah. Most of the time.
Yeah.
It's fun. I've done it before.
Yeah, I've done it too.
It's once or twice.
I'm going to plug my web series came out like a year ago. John Lennon is a Rice Cooker.
It's really good.
If you watch it, the first episode does not link to the next few episodes. So if you notice, the first episode has like a good amount of views, and 2 and 3 have no views because no one knows they exist.
Oh.
So
we'll
go find
fix that. Internet.
Oh, and I just leaked made mock Twin Peaks, the new series. Opening credits that I just made. They're real. They're totally real.
Yeah. I'll have to look at that. I'm super hyped for new Twin Peaks.
Oh, right.
I do. I want to give. I want to give nice praise to you because you've done a lot of editing of clips and showcase stuff for Pressure. Like we did a holiday showcase of the Star Wars special where you edited a lot of very, very funny things in that are hard to explain.
Painful thing I've ever done in my life. Yeah. Watching the Star Wars holiday special multiple times.
Yeah. Ooh.
So much. Chewbacca's that don't have
it
word,
be called
word bubbles.
Too many Chewbacca's.
Nice. This is a good place in it. So we end each show by all of us trying to do our best impression of Godzilla Roar. Yeah.
Don't you have neighbors?
Yeah, well, you're going to find out what we do here in a second. So here's my impression of Godzilla doing a roar. Hey guys, what's up? I just get really conscious of how loud it is, so that's chill, lay back, Godzilla.
Rick!
Well, that's horny Godzilla.
Yeah. Okay.
What is that?
That was
a test of the emergency broadcast system.
I'm gonna say that was the lady saver.
Oh, nice.
Because basically he slept through most of that fucking
yeah,
day.
Yeah. Ended up with a harsh critique, guys. Well,
I hope that actually shows up.
Yeah.
On the...
That'll
probably be okay.
Be fine.
Was the sign up I thought would be funny last time if we did every episode?
I don't fucking remember.
I don't remember either.
Go to sleep.
Get out of here. Just get.
God's not real.
God's not real too.
Yeah.
My favorite film.
God's not dead.
No, God's not real. You misread the title.
Yeah.
Kirk Cameron's taking a very weird
Sorry, God is dead too.
A Kirk Cameron joint.
Yeah.
Oh man. All right. Well, hey guys.
Have a good night or a good afternoon or a good evening. Good morning.
Anybody who's watching this, it's probably like 5 in the morning and they just don't want to go to bed.
Yeah.
I think we should.
We release
that.
You. All right. Okay. All right.
You
All
right. shall be released.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh. Okay.
Bye.
We regret that you have not yet complied with our order.
This show has been brought to you by Machine Culture.